prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Where faith and reason meet. It's Truth Revolution. I'm Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
Oh, I hope you guys will come out to Revolution Church. 9 o'clock and 11:15 every Sunday.
Oh, you don't want to miss it.
Unless you already got a home church, then, you know, just live it out great there.
There you go.
But we're glad you're listening to the show. Whoever you are, if you don't have a church at all, we're glad you're listening. You can check out Revolution Church, too. Doesn't matter what you're wearing, what you look like, what you smell like, what you feel like.
Mm-hmm. And even if you're a long ways away, you can check us out online.
Live, that's right. So get on over to truthrevolution.tv. And we take questions. We love questions. It helps us know.
Jeff loves to debate.
And not just because I love to debate, but because I love to know what people are experiencing.
Yeah.
And if thoughts are being provoked by the show. And so that's why we try to answer at least a question every week.
Right.
Sometimes we do more. And So
get out to truthrevolution.tv and you can get us questions there.
That's right. Or you can also send an email or a text message to questions@truthrevolution.tv.
There you go.
You know, I got a quick question too, I guess, for the listeners. This whole cracked acronym that we have, I'm going on a speaking tour here this spring and summer. I'm going to be going going around the country. I'm going to be talking about the cracked acronym and the proper way to interpret the Bible and things like that.
Right.
And I'm just curious if anybody out there would be interested if we put together a booklet or a book using this acronym about how to solve Bible contradictions or how to interpret the Bible the right way with this cracked acronym. So, you know, if that is you, shoot a message to questions@truthrevolution.tv.
Shoot, dude, that's me.
You want one?
Take one. Even if there was only one, I'd take it.
Okay. Maybe I'll write it just for you.
There you go.
But, Dave. You know, I just figured we do it on the radio show a lot. Now we've gotten asked to go do this speaking thing, partly because of that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be all, I think I'll be down in Florida, as you're hearing this right now. And I'm actually be speaking through a translator there. So that's going to be a new trip for me. I don't speak Spanish fluently, so I'm going to. That'll be interesting. Anyway, today's show, we're talking about... So, yeah, send us a message. Let us know if you might be interested in that book or booklet. And if there's enough interest, we might actually put one together. All right. Now, we're going to be talking about science again this week.
Uh-huh.
We did last week.
Right.
Do science and faith...
Yeah, do they mix? Can they co-mingle?
Or not. Can they dance together at the junior high dance?
Stay tuned.
That was what we're talking about. We're going to continue on that. We got a little more to say about that topic. Mm-hmm. And we also got a listener question about our Christocentric hermeneutic.
Yeah.
About putting Christ at the middle
of
how we interpret the Bible.
Right, and we got a Bible contradiction as well.
Oh, we always do Bible contradiction.
Well, not always.
We've got one time.
One time that we skipped it.
One
never
time
let you live it
in
down.
Like 3 years or whatever it's been. And so, yeah, we got a Bible contradiction. And we're going to, okay, back to the science and religion thing.
Right. They coexist. Let's talk about something else.
We're done. End of discussion. Nothing else more to be said here. So, science and religion. This is a big question. It's not a big question, apparently. That was the wrong question. It's not a question. It's a statement. Science and Christianity can commingle.
Right.
They can get along with each other. Right. As I said last week on Facebook, this fake Christian quote, right? I don't know much about science except that it's wrong. Okay.
Right. And you know what? Some Christians some Christians do think that way. But I don't think the large majority of them do.
Well, no, of course not. And we've been looking at Ian Borber's four views of how science and Christianity relate. Of course, you got number one, which is a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can't get along at all. They're at odds with one another.
Right.
Okay, you got the second one, which is independence. You know, religion does its thing, and it can do it fine. And science does this thing, it can do it fine. But, you know, really, there's no reason for them to even talk to each other.
Right, they're okay with each other's existence. They're just not writing letters back and forth.
That's right. Then there's dialogue, which there's a lot of different issues that dialogue says that science and religion could agree upon.
Mm-hmm.
They may be able to share some information or use each other's studies. For example, here's a quote. Some theologians have taken the accumulating evidence for the Big Bang theory as corroboration of the biblical view that the universe had a beginning.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, that's an example of that. And then the fourth view is integration.
Roommates.
Roommates, that's yep. right. There's some sort of integration between the content of theology and science. And there's different versions of how this works.
They're like besties, man.
That's right. But, you know, like the teleological argument, mm-hmm. you know, we say, man, you look at the design in the right. universe.
Oh, yeah. Got to be a designer. I pulled that on someone the other day, and they're like, I didn't even think about that. You look how everything works. And it's just like, it's a machine, man.
Yeah.
It's me.
And someone had to design mm-hmm. that. This is really, that's kind of like integration.
Right.
You're using science, and you're integrating into your religious view and your metaphysics of how the world works. And how metaphysics works, how your knowledge of the supernatural works. Right. And you're saying, because of what I see in nature, I'm now passing that knowledge onto the supernatural. And I'm saying, wow, there must be something that exists in the right. spiritual realm.
And the thing that we've talked about for a long, long time, since the show started, is basically...
Way back yonder.
Yeah, way back yonder. Man, science is here to basically discover and explore God's creation.
Yeah!
You know, and so... You know, those people that say, well, you know, science is kind of uppity and, you know, they've gotten full of themselves. And sometimes that's true, but there are quite a few mm-hmm. scientists who are Christian. Reasons to Believe is proof of that.
Reasons.org. Yeah, mm-hmm. get over to that website. Yeah. If you don't want to go to that website, go to truthrevolution.tv. I hear it's also a good website.
It is. I heard the guy that takes care of that website is really cool.
Not what I heard. Anyway, Dave takes care of the website. So I just like to harass him. You're totally right on. And, you know, just for clarification, if someone's saying, science is arrogant. No, science is not arrogant. Science is a process by which we discover truth.
Right.
You know,
right. Science is a thing.
Right. It's something we use, something we do. Yeah. There may be some scientists who are arrogant.
Yes.
And there are also some Christians who are arrogant. Yeah.
Anything in the wrong hands can turn out to be arrogant. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, so. For example, me wearing this shirt, I look mm-hmm. fantastic. I mean, it's a good shirt, but now I'm all arrogant.
It was a good shirt. You looked fantastic when you were dressing yourself in the dark this morning.
Oh, man.
But you're right, you know.
When it comes to science and religion, there are some people who say, look, they don't integrate. Mm-hmm. There's even biblical examples of how they don't get along. And I'd like to answer some of these challenges. For example, Job 37, 18. Mm-hmm. Okay, it talks about a dome in the skies.
Oh, there's a dome there.
Yeah, dome.
That's how we keep the aliens out.
Oh, boy. But it says, can you join him, God, in spreading out the skies hard as a mirror of cast bronze? Okay, and so some people are saying, well, look, man, this is not science.
Right.
We don't have anything as hard as cast bronze in the sky, and the sky is really, I mean, it's largely empty. And really, like, we're answering Bible contradictions.
Right. Here. I got a feeling the cracked acronym is coming up.
Right. So what do you have to do when you read these things? You do, and again, we go back to cracked, mm-hmm. D, dialect. You know, what did he mean when he said this, speaking about a solid dome above the earth? I mean, was he trying to say that if you go up there, you're going to find a big chunk of bronze that you could tap with a hammer and make gong noises?
Yeah.
Is that what was really trying to be said in here?
That's the one.
No. Well, Norman Geisler points out that the original Hebrew word here could refer to like a wooden plank or something like that, a board. But when we talk about like a church board member, we're not talking about a wooden object.
Right.
Yeah. And likewise, when this speaker or this writer is talking about a solid dome, it doesn't necessarily mean solid as in like a piece of bronze, a chunk up there. All it means is that there's something up there that's firmer than thin air. And guess what?
There is?
There is. It's amazing.
I'm guessing now.
Well, what do we call it?
I don't know.
The ozone? Did you?
Oh, is that what the ozone?
Fourth grade science?
Thought you were talking about satellites or something. No.
Satellites.
Well, you know what? I'm not sure they knew much about ozone, and they didn't teach much about ozone when I was in fourth grade. You got to remember how much I am older than you.
Okay. Well, that may be true. But, and honestly, I don't really think Joe was probably talking about the ozone layer right when he wrote this. But the point remains true, that even if this was talking about that, he does not actually mean there was a layer of bronze surrounding the earth. This is not an anti-scientific statement.
Right.
In fact, if you just look at it, if you just take it out of its context and look at it the way it's written, it actually is very scientifically accurate. The Bible really gives a lot of cool information in the book of Job about how the world's created. Actually, Hugh Ross wrote a book about the book of Job that you should check out. We had him on our show to talk about that book. This was a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And he talks about all the scientific pieces of information that are really, really cool and come out of that.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
So, all right. Another one. In Revelation 7, chapter 1, we get... You're already laughing.
The world is square.
Yeah, I mean, it says that the world is square in Revelation chapter 7. Okay, well, let's read this. Revelation 7, verse 1. After I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or sea or on any tree. Okay, wait a minute.
Wait, hold on. The earth is square, and wind only blows from those four different corners.
Yeah, that's your belief.
That's what it says. I'm being very literal here.
Yeah,
but let's be honest. I mean, we've talked about the different types of stuff that the Bible uses, phraseology and stuff like that.
Yes,
it's not. We've always said it's not a science book.
Yes, thank you. The Bible is not a science right. book. And I don't go to a science book and look at a periodic table of elements and say, how do you take that? I take it as a metaphor for my life.
Right.
You know, like there's lots of light things like hydrogen, and you know, and for me, that means I need to be lighter.
Right. This periodic table could mean something totally different to somebody else.
Yeah.
That's totally not the case.
That's not what nobody does that. And if you do, you're wrong. I mean, that's not how you look at a periodic table of elements in a science book. You go, this is a scientific chart.
Yes.
And when you look at things like this in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, and you see that it talks about the four corners of the earth, it's not giving you a geography lesson.
Right.
It's giving you just a metaphor about angels surrounding the earth, ready to bring judgment. Right. And that's all it's doing.
The world is not square.
The Bible doesn't...
It's a cube.
Brother, jeez. But yeah, I mean, the intention here of the Bible was not to give a geography lesson, not to talk about the shape of the earth. The intention was... I mean, look, we say every single day, sunrise, sunset.
Yeah, but that's not really the case.
No, the sun doesn't actually move up and down.
Right, but from our viewpoint,
it does.
It does.
And so we just use these colloquial words to describe things, and that was what the Bible was doing here.
Right.
It's not trying to teach that the earth is square. Oh, brother. Okay, so you know, here, again, you see it's not anti-scientific.
Right.
We got another one to get back to, but... You know, I want to jump to this quote by Robert Jastrow. We've shared this quote before, and Robert Jastrow was a director at NASA. Okay, he's an astrophysicist, the director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies. And he says this, "Now we see how the astronomical evidence supports the biblical view of the origin of the world. The essential elements in the astronomical and biblical accounts of Genesis are the same. Consider the enormousness of the problem. Science has proved that the universe exploded into being at a certain moment. It asks what cause produced this effect. Who or what put the matter or energy into the universe? And science cannot answer these questions."
Amen.
And see, that's why we think there's this integration.
Right.
Science has now found out there's a beginning to the universe, but it can't ask who put it there. It wants the answer to that question.
It wants to ask.
And religion, Christianity, right. Yes, we can answer that question. Mm-hmm. There are questions that science can't answer that we can. There are questions that we can't answer with the Bible that science can.
Right.
The Bible doesn't tell me the shape of the earth. If I want to know it, I need to ask a scientist.
There you go.
Scientist doesn't know who put the world here. If they want to know, they need to ask us.
All right.
TruthRevolution.tv, we're going to continue this discussion on the other side of the break.
Don't go anywhere.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Jeff, as part of our discussion on absolute morality, you will argue that a community cannot determine what is right or wrong in child rearing.
I believe that right and wrong are real things. It's evil to murder a child, no matter what a person or community may say about it.
It is good to feed a child healthy food, no matter what a person or community may say about it.
The only job of the community or government is to step in when there are clear violations of right and wrong that infringe upon a child's safety.
It's always wrong to burn cigarettes on a child's body, but not because our community agreed that we don't like it. It's because it's wrong, period.
If someone were to say, "But I believe it's good," we wouldn't listen to them and say, "Oh, well, for him, this is beautiful." No, we say there's something wrong in his head.
This is why it starts with art. Beauty and ugliness, right and wrong, have real properties. It's not merely what a community believes.
It's really what's right and wrong, despite what a community may believe.
Amen.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
One of the ways we read scriptures with a Christocentric hermeneutic. What does that mean?
Basically put, we see Jesus as the pinnacle, the climax, the mountaintop of all scripture. And we read and interpret scripture that way.
The Old Testament isn't merely a collection of writings explaining how things used to be.
Not at all. It's like a highway driving towards that moment in history when Christ appears. When we understand salvation history in terms of everything pointing towards Christ, the Old Testament is much more relevant.
And the New Testament epistles aren't merely theology books.
Thank you. They do contain deep theology, but it's a reflection on what Jesus had done and how that works out.
This fits together with our knit together part of the cracked acronym.
Right. Reading scripture with Jesus as the apex of revelation allows us to make sense of how he's seen in scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus isn't just the most powerful prophet. He's God in flesh, whom all scripture points to.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And here we are.
Oh yeah.
We're back.
Science and religion.
Can That's what we're talking definitely about. Coexist. You know, we've been talking about this kind of stuff for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, man.
And I think it's obvious that we believe it. And I think we've proved it.
Yeah. If someone disagrees with us, I'd really like you to contact us and tell us why you think science and religion cannot get along with each other.
Yeah.
Out of these four different views about science and religion, there's conflict, they don't get along. There's independence, they just do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's number three, which is dialogue. They can talk to each other and share information and use each other. Then there's number four, they integrate together.
Right.
Now, we would really say number three is pretty good.
Yeah.
Number four is really good.
I honestly think number three will move to number four. I mean,
eventually.
I mean, that's just the natural progression. When people actually put down walls and begin to understand, hey, mm-hmm. we do have a lot in common.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. You know, and you know, honestly, I would be comfortable mm-hmm. living in number three
yeah.
or number four. I mean, the point here is that both religion and science are seeking truth and knowledge.
Right.
And if we're doing it the right way, we're both going to come to conclusions about what is true and what is false.
Amen.
And we can use each other, like we just talked about before the break, you know, the astrophysicist from NASA admitted, hey, we know the world had a beginning. We don't know how that happened.
Right.
And so he needs to look to religion to get the answer to those metaphysical questions,
right.
those epistemological questions.
To get the
questions.
Answer to the enormous problem he was talking about.
That's right. Yeah. And we need to look to scientists to get answers to questions like, what is the shape of the earth? Because mm-hmm. the Bible doesn't tell us.
Right.
And if we're looking for the Bible to tell us, we're looking for a science book where we shouldn't be looking for a science book.
Right.
That's not what the Bible is. It wasn't written that way. And this is why we use our cracked acronym to solve contradictions, to understand the right way to read the Bible. And again, hey, if you're interested in possibly getting a book or a booklet about the cracked acronym, let us know. We're considering putting one together. So, you know, let us contact us at truthrevolution.tv. If there's interest, we'll try to do that. If not, I'm not going to waste my time. Okay, just another example of how the Bible integrates with science. In Genesis 5:5, you find that the Bible's talking about people living a really, really long time.
Right. Yes.
For instance, it said, altogether, Adam lived a total of 930 years and then he died.
Now, how is that possible?
Well, see, he drank a lot of Mucinex. And that's the key to old age.
Yeah.
Actually, I just read, I saw an article of someone who's living like over, way over 100. They said their key to living long is sleep.
There you go.
They sleep a lot.
A stress-free life.
Okay, but Adam lived 900 years. And really, you know, Methuselah lived 960. Mm-hmm. What's going on here? Is this real? I mean, science, I mean, you just look at the facts, man. We're dying at like 80.
Right. And it's doesn't bode well. I mean, because if you look at it, way, way, way back then, they were living that long. We're living this short now. I mean, could it get shorter? It has been.
Well, hey, do you remember an interview we did with one of the scientists from Reasons to Believe not too long ago? And they talked about our DNA tags.
Right.
And how it is actually, they think it's actually possible now. Well, I wouldn't say it's possible now, but they are getting an understanding of how humans could live hundreds and hundreds of years.
Right, yes.
And there's certain markers that are turned on and off. And if you can activate the right things, there's no reason a human shouldn't be able to live hundreds of years. And what's fascinating about this is that just a decade or two ago, people were saying, hey, 900 years, people live in 900 years in the Bible, that's ridiculous.
Right.
That would never happen. But now science is catching up and going,
yeah,
wait a minute.
The lights are going on.
Wait a minute. Yeah, now it's all of a sudden the year 2014 and people are saying, this doesn't look so stupid now.
Right. Flip a couple of DNA switches and see what you got.
Exactly. Now, I'm not saying we use the Bible as a science book, but I think sometimes we look at the Bible and we go, this guy lived in 900 years. I'm thinking, there might be something to that.
It's all a part of that dialogue and moving into integration thing, you know, because if science and religion can actually talk to each other and you find some common ground, it's like, whoa, people could actually might be able to live that long.
That's right. So maybe a scientist could say, you know what? The Bible says some people live this long. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do some research to see if this is actually possible. And maybe they can work around that. Right. I mean, this is how science got started. The scientists like Newton, Kepler, Galileo, they believed the universe was the product of a mind. And so they said, it's got to be ordered. It has to make sense. So I'm going to study to find out what that order is.
Right. And there is order. And it does make sense.
That's right. It's amazing. You just have to make sure you interpret the Bible the right way.
Right.
You know, when the Bible says, you know, the corners of the earth, it's not trying to say the earth is square.
Right.
You know, I have a great example. Bruno Mars.
Okay.
Okay. He sings this song. And check this out. Okay, what did he just say?
Her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining.
Okay, does he actually mean his girlfriend's eyes are brighter than the stars?
That's what he means.
Oh my goodness, they're brighter than the sun?
That's a literal translation right
Do
there.
Do not look into her eyes.
Right. like Cyclops from the X-Men.
No one takes him literally when he says that. Why?
Because, you hope not anyway.
Because he was trying to make a point.
Uh-huh.
I love to look into your eyes, baby.
Mm-hmm. He's getting all sappy.
I purposely looked away from Dave when I said
Thank you. I'm so glad.
And he was trying to make a point. And we go after what his point was, not how he said it.
Right.
And that's what we do with the Bible. We go after what their point was, not how it was said. You know, when we read in the book of Psalms, we understand this is poetry.
Mm-hmm.
When we read something that's written sarcastically, we understand it's sarcastic.
Right.
So we just have to be careful how we read the Bible. So, all right. So, you know, back to the science thing.
Well, before you, I just want to make sure we're not comparing the Bible to Bruno Mars. We're only comparing writing styles. Okay.
Right.
I just want to make sure that somebody's like,
thank you for protecting me.
I just want to make sure
from that error.
You know?
The Apostle Paul is not the same as Bruno Mars
right.
because first of all, I doubt he could write music. Second of all, he was writing scripture. But the point is, how do you read something? Mm-hmm. How do you hear something? Right. When an artist writes a song, you read it a certain way. In the Bible, when they write poetry, you need to read that a certain way.
Amen.
And don't get it mixed up.
Right, now all back right. to science.
Now, well, actually, why don't we just go ahead and do our Bible contradiction?
Bible contradiction.
I'm all in favor of that. All right, Bible contradiction today.
Yeah.
Brought to you from the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Okay.
Is it good or is it bad?
Yes.
To be wealthy.
Oh.
All right, Psalms 112, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Hey, riches are good, right?
Okay, that's what it says.
If you fear the Lord, that's riches will be in your house.
Damn, that's what the Bible says.
However, Jesus himself in Matthew 19 says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Meaning riches are a hindrance. If people at Freedom From Religion Foundation want to know, what giveth here, if?
All right, we're going to use our cracked acronym. The D stands for dialect. What is the language they're using? And like we just said, like I just said like 1 minute ago, when you read the Psalms, it's like song. It's like poetry. Right. You have to read it that way. So when they say in the book of Psalms, wealth and riches are in the house of the man who fears God, is it making an actual promise? If you love God, 10%, you will have a 10% increase in your earnings. I mean, is it giving you like this calculation that if you love God, you will be rich?
No.
Or is it just saying, man, fearing God is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be wealthy. You're going to love life more.
There are different ways to be wealthy, honestly. You know, and in a spiritual life, I feel a lot more wealthy now than I was before before I turned to God.
Sure. And even if he is talking about a monetary wealth, he's writing that as poetry. And his point is, it's a good thing to fear God. You're going to receive good things from that. But also, you have to read the context. C in our cracked acronym, the first one stands for context. And Jesus finishes his comment saying, it's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. Uh-huh. He finishes that by saying, but all things are possible with God.
Aha, so they left that off.
They did. He's not saying it's impossible.
I gotcha.
You got to read the whole thing. So, you know, we do our second C, which is credibility. And we just ask the question, is it possible for these to fit together? And the answer is, yeah. Sometimes riches were a blessing from God, but they can also be hindrance. They can be both at the same time.
Definitely.
You know, because you can be blessed by God. He can give you money and that can be a blessing, but you can also focus on that money. It can be a hindrance. So both of those things are true. Just like for my children, candy is both a motivator for good behavior and a problem when they get the sugar rush.
So you don't want to be giving them motivation too late at night.
Right. So that's the answer for Bible contradiction today.
Got another one in the books.
Got another one there.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. But, you know, we do actually have something important today. We have a listener question. So I think let's try to hit that before the show's over.
I got a question.
All right. This listener wants to know, how can anyone have a different view from Christocentric hermeneutics? Your old view and biblical interpretation didn't necessarily mean that you removed Jesus from other parts of the Bible. Is there a precedent to the contrary within church history?
All right, this listener is talking about...
That's a deep question.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And what's the... If we don't have a Christocentric hermeneutic, is there anything else? Well, yeah. People actually, in traditions like the Reformation tradition, Calvinism or Reformed tradition, they are more theocentric. They place God at the center of their doctrine, and the sovereignty of God is the center of their focus, whereas Jesus is the center of our focus. It doesn't mean that they don't love Jesus. They definitely do, and they want to give the gospel, and they love Jesus. And I'm speaking generically because we only have like 60 seconds here. But they generally focus on the doctrine that Paul wrote as a means to understand Jesus. We primarily look at Jesus as a means to understand the doctrine Paul wrote.
There you go.
It's kind of the other way around.
Right.
And so people do see this differently than I do sometimes, or than my tradition does. But I do think Christocentric is the right way. I mean, the whole point of all of Scripture is Jesus.
Oh, everything just falls into place when you look at it that way.
Everything points at Jesus. Everything does. He is the pinnacle. Jesus even said, you study the Scriptures diligently because you think by them you have life. Well, guess what? They point to me. So he said it himself.
All right.
All right. So truthrevolution.tv. Send us your questions. Come on over to Revolution Church and let us know if you're interested in that booklet about the crack acronym.
And we'll see you next week.